والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد أنزلنا إليكم كتابا فيه ذكركم أفلا تعقلون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear brothers and elders and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book in Surah Al-Anbiya, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا. Verily we have revealed to you, sent on you a book, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in which there is mention of you. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, if only you understand. The kalam of Allah Jalla wa'ala, the purpose of the revelation of the Qur'an al-Majid is not that it should be recited, is not that it should be recited for thawab, it is not that it should be recited in a beautiful tone, it is not that it should be read, it is not that it should be written, it is that it should be understood and implemented. All the rest of them follow. Naturally, if you are understanding something, you also read it. If you have to preserve it, you also write it, and so on and so forth. And of course, because it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at it is ibadah, touching it with respect is ibadah, reading it is ibadah, memorizing it is ibadah, and so on. However, we have to differentiate between the purpose of something and other things which are associated with it. For example, if a person has a beautiful car, an S-class Mercedes, or a 7 series BMW, or according to me, the king of all cars, or Toyota Land Cruiser, fully loaded, superior to a Mercedes and a BMW put together. A person has this car, and then you see him every day, the person is polishing this car, and washing this car, and he's vacuuming the car, and he's perfuming the car, and then when the time comes for him to go somewhere, he walks. So you tell him, you're crazy, why are you walking? What about this car? He said, no, but you know, I'm looking after the car. I mean, have you ever seen a day pass that I didn't wash this car? Have you ever seen a day pass that I did not polish this car? So, what more do you want me to do? So, what do you say to that person? You say, boss, the purpose of this car is not for you to wash it and polish it. The purpose of this car is for you to ride in it and for you to take other people with you in this car. It is also incidental if you want to ride in the car and you want to have a comfortable ride that you do some maintenance of the car and you wash it and polish it and you look after it and repair it if it needs it. But that is not the reason for having the car. The reason for owning a car is not to polish it. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and ask you and ask myself, what do we do with the Quran? We polish it and we kiss it and we rub it and we put it in velvet garments and we put it on the highest possible place in our house under the ceiling, and we consider that we are fulfilling the right of the Quran. We are not. The kalam of Allah did not come for these reasons. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came so that we understand it and so that we implement it in our lives. And that is why I began with this ayah of Suratul Anbiya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions and says that we have sent upon you a book in which there is mention of you, if you only understand. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. So let us see, where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned us in his book? Obviously, Allah has not mentioned your name or my name. So what is the meaning of mention when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are mentioned? فِيهِ ذِكُرُكُمْ. There is mention of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the characteristics of people. And he mentioned the ending, the final resting place of those people with those characteristics. And that is the mention that is meant. And therefore it is incumbent on all those who call themselves Muslim and all those who believe that this kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala came for us to understand and implement in our lives, it is incumbent and fard upon us that we read this Quran and search for ourselves in it. And we look at it with the perspective of saying, which group do I fit into? And alhamdulillah, if we fit into a group about which a good ending has been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamat on that path. But if we find ourselves and we find that we are in a group about whom a bad ending has been promised, then what do we need to do? We need to look at our lives. We need to examine our lives. And we need to get out of that framework of life for which a bad ending has been promised. So let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah a group of people about whom he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, among the people, ومن الناس, are those من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first saying that among the people are those people who say that we believe in Allah and we believe in the last day. We believe in the day of judgment, al-yawm al-akhir. So first thing which Allah described is about these people, that these people are people who claim that they believe in Allah. They are not atheists. They are not atheists. They are not people who are even joining with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah did not say that. They believe in Allah. These are not people who deny the day of judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in another place in the Quran, people who deny the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. But about these people, Allah did not. Allah said, they believe in Allah. They say, مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ. They say, we believe in Allah. And they say, we believe in the day of judgment. But what does Allah say about them? Having said this, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun bima fi sudur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows what is in the hearts of people. And what does Allah say about these people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ma hum bi mu'mineen. Allah said, but they are not Muslims. They are not mu'mineen. Ajeeb, eh? Today, what is our definition of who is a mu'min? Somebody who believes in Allah and somebody who believes in the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to have a different criterion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say this, but they are not mu'mineen. Now why do they say this? Why say this at all? Why not declare that we don't believe in Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They say this to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And they say this to fool the believers. But are they able to do that? Can anybody ever fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what does Allah say about this? وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said they only fool themselves, and even this they are not aware of. I mean, their level of foolishness and their level of stupidity is so high that they are trying to fool Allah Jalla wa'ala. And they are trying to fool the mu'mineen. They are trying to fool Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And they are trying to fool the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they fool no one except themselves, and even this they are not aware of. Now, I told you, Allah describes the qualities of a people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what will happen to them. So what is the quality that has been described here? People who say, yaquluna, who say that we believe in Allah and we believe in the day of judgment, but in their hearts, See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Why do they say this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Fi qulubihim marad." In their heart is a disease. In their heart is a disease. And what is this disease? Is it hardening of the arteries? Is it angina? Is it some other kind of cardiac problem? It is a cardiac problem. It's a fatal cardiac problem. And that fatal cardiac problem is the hardening of the heart. That fatal cardiac problem is lying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi qulubihim marad. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Does he say that he will cure this disease? No. Fi qulubihim maradun fazadahumullahu marada. And Allah says that Allah will increase this disease. Until when? Until they die. Until Malakul Maut comes. And then? Walahum adabun alimun bima kanu yakzibun. For them there is a dreadful punishment. Why? Because they were liars. They said with their tongues that they believe in Allah, but in their heart there was something else. They said with their tongues that they believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in their heart was something else. They said with their tongues, "We are Muslims, we are mu'min," but their life was something else. They said they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their life was full of disobedience of Allah. They knew what Allah had made halal and they went against that and they consumed haram. They knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited and made haram, but they deliberately went and took part in that and they enjoyed that haram. Not once, not twice, all their lives. And not only did they enjoy that haram, they invited people to it. They established places and they established establishments and clubs and so forth for the practice of haram. They invited people there. They charged them a fee to enter that club. They set the rules of what will happen in that club and what will not happen in that club. And all of these were haram. And when they were warned, did they listen to the warning? No, they did not listen to the warning. These were the people who went against the warning. They abused the people who warned them. They tried to harm the people who warned them. They tried to create all sorts of ta'wilat from twisting and turning and changing the meaning of the kalam of Allah and from the kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to justify the haram that they were doing. All of these characteristics, it's not my purpose here to list in detail. You and I are more than aware of what is happening in our society, in this very city of Hyderabad. There's none of us who is unaware of what is going on. We are full and completely and totally aware of what is going on, yet we do nothing to stop it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for such people, that is the ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to change our lives, that we become obedient to Him, for which the ending is a very different ending altogether. Diametrically opposite direction. So let's see, what is that direction? Who are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, about whom He promised a good ending? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزُقٌ كَرِيمٌ. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the believers are those, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described five qualities. Three internal to the person and two visible outside. Allah said, verily the believers are those whose hearts shiver with the fear and majesty and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when His name is mentioned before them. My brothers and sisters, I invite you and I remind myself to look at our hearts. This heart will take us into Jannah or this heart will take us into Jahannam. The choice has been given into our hands. What happens to our heart? What happens to our heart when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned? What must happen to our heart? وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ When the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, their hearts shiver with the fear and majesty and awe and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the heart? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about His zikr? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the effect of His kalam? لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily this kalam of Allah, this Quran, is such that if it is sent down onto a mountain, the mountain will humble itself and will crumble to dust. Why? Min khashyatillah. With the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. This kalam is sent onto the mountain means what? Does it mean that you put the book on a rock? It means that if this mountain understood what it is saying and reading. Ajib. The mountains in our hearts are harder than rock. Because nothing happens to us. Nothing happens to us when we hear the glory and majesty of Allah. Ajib. How can we live like this in this world? Tell me. How can we live like dead bodies, like zombies, walking around without any life inside us? Like robots. Somebody's pressed a button and the robot will walk until the battery runs out and there he is dead, finished. Khalas. He didn't live when he was walking and he didn't live when he died. How? Ask yourself. Look into your heart and see what happens to this heart when you hear the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same surah Al-Hashr, after this ayah, Allah Jalla wa Ala introduced Himself. And what did He say? هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز مؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Does anything happen to our heart? Does anything happen to our heart? The sign of the hardness of the heart is the dryness of the eyes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire of Jahannam haram on two kinds of eyes. He said the eyes which weep for the glory and majesty of Allah. And the eyes which stay awake for the protection of the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fire of Jahannam has been made haram on these two kinds of eyes. Ask yourself, ask myself. Are my eyes anywhere in this two? إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ A condition inside which only we know and only Allah knows. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا These are the people when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, their iman increases. They feel an increase in faith. They feel an increase in yaqeen. They feel a desire to meet their Rabb. They look forward to the meeting of their Rabb. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And what is the natural result of somebody whose heart shivers with the glory and majesty of Allah and whose iman increases when he hears and recites the Quran? Automatically that person has tawakkul on Allah. Automatically that person does not fear anyone else in the world. When this head is bowed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, It is saved from bowing before anything and anyone else. That's why Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi said, وہ ایک سجدہ جسے تو گران سمجھتا ہے ہزار سجدوں سے دیتا ہے آدمی کو نجات. But we are a people who recite poetry. We are a people who remember and remind each other of poetry. We are not a people who follow what is written in that poetry. We don't even follow what's written in the Quran. Forget the poetry of anybody. Three conditions. The heart shivers with the glory and majesty of Allah. The iman increases when they hear the kalam of Allah. And they have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described two other conditions which are visible to us. وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقُنَاهُمْ يُنفِقُونَ. And these are the people who establish the salah. Establish the salah. Why? Why would you want to establish the salah? Because the one who is connected with his Rabb, the one whose heart beats to the tempo of the kalam of his Rabb, what does he want to do? He wants to see his Rabb. He wants to talk to his Rabb. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِن لَمْ تَكُن تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. The Habib of Allah subhanahu wa jalla ala, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described the salah as what? To worship Allah as if you can see him. And though you cannot see him, to know that he sees you. Why does the believer establish salah? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call it Qurratul Ayn? Because the salah is communicating with Allah. I love somebody very much. What do I want to do? I want to see them. I want to talk to them. Yes or no? What does it say about us if we don't want to see Allah? And if we don't want to talk to Allah? What does it say about the love for Allah? The salah is communication with Allah. The salah is standing before Allah when there is no one other than Allah and the slave. Only thing that the slave is aware of is the majesty and power of Allah. He's not aware of anybody. When he said Allahu Akbar in Takbir al-Tahrima, everything else went out of the window. Everything else went out. The only thing he's aware of is Allah. Salah is talking to Allah. Salah is telling Allah your story. Salah is crying before Allah and asking for his help. Salah is asking Allah because Allah is the only one who likes the one who asks. In the world, we don't like people who ask. We run away from people who ask. We reject people who ask. But Allah Jalla Wala, he's the only one who loves the one who asks. Allah is the one who told his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave the hidayah to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who advised his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did he say? He said, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. In Suratul Duha. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. He said, do not reject, do not send away, do not reject the one who asks. Do not reject the sa'il. Do not reject the one who begs you. SubhanAllah, one of my shuyukh said, reflect on this ayah. That's why I say read the Quran to understand. He said, reflect on this ayah. The Rabb who is advising his Nabi, do not reject the one who asks you. What does it say about himself? What does that say about himself? What will that Rabb do to the one who asks him? Are Allah ka kalam samjho to sahi. What does it say about the Rabb himself? He is advising his Nabi, oh my Nabi, do not reject somebody. He comes to ask you, give him. He wants an answer, give him. He wants something, give him. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone comes to you, don't send him anywhere else. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if someone comes to you with a need, don't send him anywhere else, fulfill his need. My brothers and sisters, I ask you, reflect on this. Wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar. Allah is advising his Nabi, oh my Nabi, do not send away the one who comes to beg you. Do not send away the one who is a sa'il to you. Do not send away the one who comes to ask you. What does that say about the one who gave that advice? What will he do to the sa'il? Will he send him away? Will he reject him? Will he reject him? He is the one who descends on the first heaven every single day in a way that suits his majesty and grace. And he is the one who asks, who is the sahil? Who is there with a need that I may fulfill it? Who is there who needs forgiveness that I may forgive him? Who is there who needs my protection that I may protect him? Who is there? Who is there? We are sleeping. We are sleeping. The best of us are sleeping. The worst of us are doing things which we should not be doing. Who is there? The one who wants to give, but he will give to the one who asks. But we will ask everybody else in the world. We spread our hands before everyone in the world, except before the only one who can give. When some good happens to us, we ascribe that good to the person. We say, you know, so and so is so good, and he behaved so well, and he has such great akhlaq, and he is so generous. Subhanallah, nothing wrong with that. By all means, praise the person. By all means, thank the person. But somewhere in that conversation, bring Allah into the scene. Bring Allah into the scene, not because you are doing Allah a favor, but you are recognizing the actual reality that that person could not have been generous unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to be generous to you. That person could not have been nice to you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to be nice to you. That person could not have done anything to benefit you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to benefit you. And the source, the origin of all that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come that name does not come on your tongue? And if you ask them, they say, nahi nahi, wo to hai. Wo hai to tumhari zabaan se nikal raha kahin ko nahi. If it is there, why doesn't it come out from your tongue? Allah knows. Wo to hai kya nahi, Allah ko malum. Allah knows what's in your heart. Establishing of salah, not just praying, establishing of salah. And then, what does the one who knows his Rabb, who is connected to his Rabb, who recognizes his Rabb, and then he stands before his Rabb, he talks to his Rabb, he listens to his Rabb. What is the next thing that he will want to do? He will want to do everything that pleases his Rabb. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And he spends from what we have given. Spend means what? Does not mean writing checks alone. Spending money, spending time, spending our resources, spending our talents, spending our influence, spending our knowledge, spending everything only for one reason, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalalu. No other reason. No other reason. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? I told you, Allah describes the qualities and Allah describes the ending. What did Allah say about the people who have these qualities? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a certificate. Allah said, Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. Allah said, these are the people who are the true believers. These are the people who are the true believers. And then for them, لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزُقٌ كَرِيمٌ. For them, there are darajat with their Rabb. There are stations of glory and stations of honor with their Rabb. These are the people who will be given thrones of pearls to sit on in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there will be no shade except His shade.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of you among them. These are the people who will be given the daraja of having the honor of drinking the water of house of Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you all among those who will be gathered before the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be given the water of Kawthar from his blessed hand. One of the qualities of which is that they will never feel thirst again. These are the people for whom the doors of Jannah will be opened. And they will cross the Sirat like a bolt of lightning. Behind Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people about which in Surah Al-Hadid and elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will emanate light. These people will be given light of their own. And their light will emanate from their right hands. And it will illuminate the path before them. And they will walk in the illumination of their own light. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you all those people about whom this has been written in His kalam. Darajatun inda rabbihim wa maghfira. What do we need, my brothers and sisters? What do we need? When we are dying on that last moment of our lives, which will come to every single one of us. We don't know when, but we know that it will come. Sooner or later, every single one of us, young or old, rich or poor, healthy or sick, black or white, Arab or non-Arab, man or woman, will go through that space, will go through that door, will cross that threshold. And what is that threshold? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about that threshold? فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the breath is stuck in the throat. See the description of the state of nazar. The state of death is being described by the one who does not die. Al-Hayyu Alladhi La Yamut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. The state of death is being described by the one who does not die. And he said, when the breath is stuck in the throat. Wa antum hina idhin tanzurun, and you are standing there watching this happening. Your dearest beloved is dying. Maybe there are some among those who are standing. Maybe there are parents who will gladly give their life to that child who is dying before their eyes. Maybe there are husbands and wives who will gladly give their life for the one who is dying. But they can do nothing. They can do nothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. He said, but we are very close to that person. But you cannot see us. At that time, I'm talking about the importance of forgiveness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to the ones who fulfill those five conditions. At that time, my brothers and sisters, tell me, anyone with even an atom's weight of iman, anyone, no matter how rebellious he or she was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, even if they have one grain of iman, at that time, if Malakul Maut says to them, all right, I'm giving you 5 minutes, ask what you want, what will they ask? What will they ask? Except forgiveness of Allah. What will they ask except forgiveness of Allah? Only the one who has no concept of Allah. Only the one who is dying as a complete kafir. Only the one who is dying as an atheist who does not recognize Allah may ask for something else. But any Muslim, no matter how bad he was or she was in their lives, no matter what they did while they were alive,
On at that moment, when the breath is stuck in the throat, when the curtains have lifted, when they can see the malaika, when the doors of tawbah have closed, hypothetically speaking, if Malakul Maut says, ask me what you want, and I will give you 5 minutes, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want, what will this person say? And that maghfirah, that forgiveness, is promised, it's given to the ones who fulfill these 5 conditions which I mentioned to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa rizqun kareem. And we will give them rizq with honor. We will give them rizq with ease. We will not them wander the earth. We will not them run behind rizq like a dog runs behind a bone. We won't make them work in a hard life, chasing this and chasing that, and worried about what will happen to my business, and dying with anxiety about what will happen to my business. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These people are the people who will live a life rizqun kareem. Somebody asked, one of the salaf, they asked him, why is it that you are so disconnected with the dunya? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi, the story about him. He said, why are you so disconnected with dunya? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, because I am concerned with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me for, I have left it to him. I don't interfere in his work. He said, Allah has created me to worship him. So I am concerned with worshipping him. And Allah promised to feed me. So I don't interfere with that. I say, let Allah feed me. And he says, Allah feeds me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds me with honor, rizqun kareem. And of course, rizqun kareem also means the Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannatul Firdausul Aala bi ghayri hisab. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to his glory and majesty, to open our hearts to the love of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to bring our lives completely and totally in obedience to him, and to bring our lives completely and totally in obedience to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stop being fooled and deceived by those who are promising us pies in the sky by disobeying Allah and by disobeying his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage where we can stand and say to people, I believe Allah, and if you say something other than what Allah says, then I do not believe you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to live in this world like standard bearers of Islam, that we can make Islam visible in all its beauty for everyone who is on the face of this earth, whether they are human, whether they are not human. The beauty of Islam is for everyone, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the instruments of making this beauty of Islam visible to everyone and everything that lives on the surface of this planet. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.